We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking Javonte Williams, Mac Jones, and Odell Beckham Jr. on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome to RotoViz Radio. This is the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I am Curtis Patrick, joined by Dave Caban. We are two of the owners here at RotoViz, and we are ready to slice and dice some numbers from our great RotoViz tools to break down a couple of really interesting situations. So, Dave, we're going to talk about a couple rookies. And then, you know, just one of those, riddles wrapped in an enigma, toward the end of the episode. So, pretty excited about tonight's content.
Yeah, me too. I always love looking through these advanced stats, and we're going to switch over, to talking about a rookie quarterback that might not be as exciting for fantasy purposes as some, but nonetheless makes, a very interesting player to dive into as it relates to his offense. So what do you think? Should I hit that generic quick drop?
Oh, obviously.
All right. So I started off getting ready for this episode by looking at some advanced running back stats, but I instead went in a direction where we are going to be looking entirely here, Curtis, at Javonte Williams, unless you see anything else pop off that you find super interesting when you look at some of the tables that I dropped into the file we're looking at. But the reason I wanted to focus on Javonte Williams so heavily is at this point in the year, he is still holding on to his spot as being extremely competitive with an evasion percentage of 23%. The only player higher, Kareem Hunt at 26%. Behind him, you have Nick Chubb, Austin Eckler. Khalil Herbert actually does get into the mix. Joe Mixon, Zach Moss, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook. But supremely impressive to see Williams this high up with a broken tackle percentage of 15.8, which is really high. Missed tackle percentage of 7%, which is really high. On top of that, Curtis, one of the highest just regular old yards per attempt averages in the league at 4.9. But 70% of his yards have come after contact. And on top of that, he ranks number one in yards after contact per carry. So this guy is breaking tackles. He's being elusive. He's evading tackles. Even after taking contact, he's staying up, keeping things moving. And from a percentage of yards after contact perspective, you see him in a list with guys like AJ Dillon, Derrick Henry, David Montgomery up towards the top of the list there. So impressive in that regard. And then, as I mentioned, the yards after contact are really high, and that puts him there with guys like AJ Dillon, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, David Montgomery, Derrick Henry. So he is popping in a lot of these lists very high up, and it's also really impressive to see him doing what he's doing because he's getting hit at the line at a very high rate. not the highest in the league, but pretty significant at 45%, only a handful of players on top of him. Interestingly, you do see Derrick Henry in that list as well. Now, one could argue that if you're getting hit at the line, that gives you more of an opportunity to accrue yardage afterwards. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you could look into these metrics. But as we preach time and again, it's when you see the same players performing well in all of these metrics or more or less across the board that you have to start to take notice. And the other thing I'll say on this too is that Denver is the 12th highest offensive line in blown block percentage on running plays. So I think that you can make an argument about how good Denver's offensive line is. We see Melvin Gordon, doing pretty well this year as well. But it's not like Williams is playing behind the best offensive line that we've ever seen. And some of these stats that he's putting up are things that he clearly would be responsible for. So I bring this up and focus solely on Williams here because I think that people are probably interested at this point as to what he is heading into next season. You know, a lot of people were hoping that by now we would have seen him overtake Melvin Gordon, really carve out the majority of that work there. Doesn't look like that will happen. But when I see the numbers like this, I think about the fact that he's the younger player on a team with some of, all of its receiving parts not quite back yet till we get Fant out there. We talked about Jerry Jeudy on the episode yesterday. This is an offense that could be trending in the right direction. Williams looking impressive. How do we frame this in our minds? I mean, one would have to think that in comparison to where he was coming out of the draft, in springtime last year, even heading to the season, that he should be at the very least holding steady there, if not, you know, taking a substantial step forward.
Yeah, there's going to be so much going on this offseason that is really going to cause Javonte Williams to skyrocket up the dynasty ADP boards and early dynasty drafts in particular. Some of the perennial studs are continuing to battle injury and are on the wrong side of the age curve. So, you know, Christian McCaffrey missing a lot of time again this year, Dalvin Cook missing some time, Derrick Henry, the invincible one, actually missing some time, Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, all of these guys are going to be, you know, age 26 or older, you know, entering next season. And even some of the big scoring receiving heavy backs like Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones getting up there a little bit longer in the tooth too. And so you're going to have a situation where the younger players are just going to vault pretty much all of these aging studs because you're basically renting a year at a time on most of those players at that point in their career. Whereas Williams coming in pretty young and having all of these great advanced metrics, you're basically just waiting. Like, when will he get the bell cow role in Denver? He doesn't actually have to have like a Najee Harris level role, you know, with 98% of the high value touches, like we talked about last week, for him to really explode. I mean, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams are basically in a 50-50 timeshare here. They're both getting about three targets a game. They're both catching about two balls a game. They're both basically, high end running back threes from an opportunity standpoint, and just consolidating that usage into one back would really yield probably a low end RB1 at worst. Melvin Gordon is in his contract year. He's going to be 29 after the season. If the team direction is still to kind of compete and, you know, they're not really out of it yet, I guess, in the AFC West with how some of the teams have struggled of late. But it's possible he would stay in Denver on a team friendly deal, and maybe be pesky, and because of the familiarity, have a larger role than maybe a different veteran that would be brought in. If Melvin Gordon's gone, it's definitely going to just be, rocket ship Javonte Williams type stuff. If Melvin Gordon stays, you know, we could get this, you know, just really annoying effect where, you know, maybe only 10% more of the touches or opportunities go to Williams in year two. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see. Obviously, the way you want to play that is to bet on the younger player, you know, getting the work. I think after the season, you know, to age 29, Melvin Gordon, probably only getting like a vet minimum type offer, for, you know, or vet, maybe not vet minimum, but, you know, a very low dollar offer from a team for, you know, perennial Pro Bowl player. And he may just want to chase the paycheck or take a similar reduced role with a playoff team, a team that maybe has Super Bowl aspirations. So, a lot to kind of, break down there, but Williams, I think, is in a very similar spot entering year two where David Montgomery was entering year two. The team is not really an elite team that we would say there's elite touchdown scoring opportunity, but if he can consolidate the receiving role, he could really, you know, just vault up his production. You know, for Montgomery, it took the injury to Tariq Cohen, to increase his receiving usage. And then we saw him, you know, finish as the overall RB5. And, you know, I think that's range of possible outcomes for Williams next season. So, you know, we'll be ahead of it. Definitely a player to trade for. If you can move a player like let's think about Aaron Jones, for example, right now, he's continuing to produce at a pretty high level for the Packers. But if Aaron Rodgers leaves town, AJ Dillon is still there. Who would you rather have? Age 27, Aaron Jones in a Rodgerless Packers situation, or Javonte Williams, you know, perhaps, taking that next step. So those are the types of deals you're looking to make. Maybe even moving a Derrick Henry, for Javonte Williams, you know, a little name brand, swap there, but you know, Henry's going to be, you know, obviously very old, at that point, and you're just basically betting that he won't be able to stay healthy anymore to move like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I started looking at this, it is interesting to think about the framing of how you could go about making a trade to acquire Williams. As you said, you got to favor the younger back in that Denver offense. With what we've seen from Williams at this point, I think it's pretty encouraging. I think he's worth taking a chance on. So see what deals you can make, see how you can go out and acquire this player that could be in a position to be a pretty significant difference maker for you next year. We're going to move along, though. We're going to take a little bit of a deep dive here into Mac Jones. And there's a couple of reasons I wanted to focus on Mac Jones here. I think the biggest reason is, from a fantasy perspective, I don't think people are particularly jazzed up on him necessarily, given what we've seen so far. But if we're trying to look forward and think about how players could function in the New England offense, as we start to see some new players get involved in that offense, be it new running backs, new wide receivers, maybe not new tight ends, for the next year or two. But let's just look at how he's stacking up, the same way that we did earlier in the week when we looked at Jalen Waddle and Curtis. I had to say, when I looked through, I mean, some impressive stuff for Waddle from a historical perspective as a rookie. And I was surprised with some of these findings that I had on Mac Jones. So I went into the RotoViz screener. The data goes back to the year 2000. I filtered out only be looking at weeks 1 through 9 in quarterbacks' rookie seasons. They had to play 5 games and average 15 or more passing attempts. That left me with 54 passers. Mac Jones at this point in 2021, averaging nearly 37 passes a game for 237 yards, a completion rate of 64%, throwing approximately 1.3 touchdowns per game, adjusted yards per attempt of 6.2, and a touchdown rate of 0.036. So those are the raw numbers. But if we dig in a little bit more and we look at these in terms of where he ranks in relation to those 54 players, some pretty impressive numbers. You have passing attempts, he's at 8. Passing yards, he's at 12. So, okay, he's throwing a lot of attempts. That could make sense there. Completion percentage ranks 9th. Passing touchdowns is at 16, which, as I was saying to you before we started, as just somebody that's watching the games, it's surprising to me to see him finishing this highly. And then adjusted yards per attempt comes in at 20, and then his touchdown rate is at 20. I'd wanted to look at success rate, but I'm seeing here, Curtis, that I pulled that incorrectly, so we won't focus on that here. But some pretty interesting numbers for him to put some things in perspective Trevor Lawrence this year is third in attempts, 17th in yards, 37th in completion percentage, 17 in touchdowns, 38th in adjusted yards per attempt, and 29th in touchdown rate. I think it's really notable how well Jones is performing in terms of completion percentage, ninth out of that list. As a frame of reference, that puts him in step with guys like Kyler Murray, also puts him in with Carson Wentz and Blake Bortles. You know, it's a bit of a mixed bag when you are looking at quarterbacks in their rookie year, especially just through this nine-game lens. But it is fairly encouraging to see those numbers for Jones. And I wanted to focus on this a little bit more because, like I said earlier, while you might not see his numbers popping from a fantasy scoring perspective, as far as a rookie quarterback actually supporting his team goes, he's been doing pretty decently.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I really, you're actually causing me to think a little bit about my current stance on Mac Jones, particularly from like a dynasty super flex perspective. You know, when you, this nine-man cohort that you've built here, I would automatically throw one name out of here right away. So I don't know if you actually read down this list. But this kind of pure cohort that we built here is Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Mike Glennon, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield, Brandon Whedon. Then we have Mac Jones at 8 and Sam Bradford at 9. So that's kind of the group that we're that's in and around him. We can throw Mike Glennon right out the window. He's a third round draft pick. And when we're evaluating rookie seasons, I really like to look at that draft capital, especially the quarterback position. There's just so much less certainty of getting a multi-year starting job after that first round draft capital falls off. And Jones certainly has, if you look at the rest of this list, all of the rest of those players being first rounders, and if you throw out Lawrence, all of the rest of them have at least, you know, a year in the league before 2021 and are multiple year starters. So kind of just comparing him, you know, with the rest of the group, you know, he's lagging pretty much all of the names you'd want him to be in front of from a passing yards per game perspective. But his completion percentage, he outpaced Andrew Luck, outpaced Baker Mayfield. He's crushing Trevor Lawrence from a passing touchdowns per game perspective. He's just right in there around the group. Really, the only star in this group was Justin Herbert. And you know, he's really the star of the entire group. Yep. when you look at this across the board, yep. And from an average yards of attempt, I think it's pretty interesting to look at because the only three players in the group, that didn't end up being long-term stars, or starters for fantasy purposes are those who didn't have an AYA through this point in their rookie season above 6. Sam Bradford, 5.2. Brandon Whedon, 5.1, Mike Glennon, 5.8. Now we see Lawrence at 4.8. That might be a big old warning signal on Lawrence. Now he brings something with his legs that Mac Jones doesn't, and that most of the other guys on this list don't bring. So, you know, maybe we can hold out some hope there. But Mac Jones looks a lot more similar to Baker Mayfield and Andrew Luck from that perspective than the guys toward the bottom of this list. And so I think, you know, when you start looking at, hey, whose other rookie seasons does Mac Jones look the most like? And I think it's the more desirable part of this top nine, which is already, you know, at the top nine of your 54 person cohort that you created. So the other stuff situationally with Mac Jones, I mean, you know, he doesn't have what Justin Herbert had coming in with Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, exciting playmakers like that to throw the ball to, or what Andrew Luck had coming in, or what Joe Burrow had coming in. Didn't even have what Baker Mayfield had coming in. I mean, Mac Jones has perhaps the worst weapons entering the league of any of the other quarterbacks on this list in this top nine. And he's doing this with that group. It kind of reminds me, and the Patriots are winning now all of a sudden. You know, it was really ugly at the beginning of the year, but you know, they're getting it done now. It kind of reminds me of the beginning of Tom Brady's career. Like he didn't have, you know, this, that was before Wes Welker and before Rob Gronkowski. You know, he turned Troy Brown and Deion Branch and players like that who were, you know, they wouldn't be superstars on other teams in the league, but he found ways to make them productive just by getting down the timing, being highly accurate, and you know, operating within the Patriots system. And, you know, it's no surprise, you know, coming from, you know, a very productive, impressive career at Alabama with the first round draft capital and landing in New England, you know, perhaps we should be less surprised. So Mac Jones didn't excite me from a fantasy perspective as a prospect, and he still probably doesn't. But I think his super flex value has climbed for me because I don't know why he couldn't turn into Kirk Cousins with draft capital in the situation he's in. Why couldn't he become Matt Ryan? You know, that type of quarterback who never joins the true fantasy elite, but just has, you know, enormous roster value early in the career because you just feel very solid about the situation.
Hey, you watch your mouth when you talk about Troy Brown.
Hey, he was a Marshall guy, so I've always got a soft spot for those guys. But you know, I really do appreciate you highlighting Mac Jones here, because you know, from a startup perspective, you know, I think if he can continue on this trajectory, you know, by the end of the season, I could see him passing a Baker Mayfield even. You know, players, I think he can creep into that mid QB2 situation because you would expect him to have some upward trajectory from where he's been, whereas some of these other younger quarterbacks who still haven't broken out in year 3, 4, 5, you start to worry, you know, maybe they never will be more than what they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was fairly encouraged in looking at this list. I don't think that you're ever going to see Jones be one of these really sought after quarterbacks from a fantasy perspective. In terms of real life football, doesn't look to me like he's going to be an elite passer, but I think he's going to be good enough that he's going to keep his team well positioned in games, which should turn into having some usability, especially in super flex leagues. So we will continue to track these rookie quarterbacks. The final note that I have, oh boy, Zach Wilson's numbers, atrocious. I actually have to read through this. 13 in pass attempts, 32 in yards, 46 in completion percentage, 42 in touchdowns, 47 in adjusted yards per attempt, and 46 in touchdown rate. Doesn't have the greatest weapons either, but not doing nearly what Mac Jones is with what he has to work with. So, you know, an ugly look there.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson's looking up at Davis Mills. That's not a spot you want to be in.
Definitely not. All right, let's take a quick minute here and do a quick little price check here. Conversation about Odell Beckham, former Cleveland Brown. Now, it's unclear exactly where we're going to see OBJ playing next, Curtis. A receiver that has been on a downward trajectory now for a while. In the interim, before we know where he's going to be, let's just think about what the value for OBJ might be like if he's on, if he lands in a good situation or if he lands in a bad situation. Try to get our heads around this.
Well, maybe the first way to look at this would just be, is there any hope for him regardless of the situation? Okay. And it kind of comes down to, you know, it kind of comes down to how do we view Odell Beckham? You know, at the beginning of his career, he was going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. You know, he started his career with three consecutive 1,300 receiving yard seasons with 10 or more receiving touchdowns. I mean, he was definitely on an all-time trajectory. But since, you know, since that injury in year four, he's never really returned to form. He hasn't been scoring touchdowns with nearly the same frequency. His yards per reception has not matched what he did in either of his first two seasons since then. And he never really, I mean, in Cleveland, his first season at age 27, he did post 1,000 receiving yards, but just barely, only scored four touchdowns. And then the last two seasons have just been disastrous. I mean, he has 13 combined appearances in 2020 and 2021 for Cleveland. And in 13 games, I mean, he's sitting at 551 receiving yards. It's just on 40 receptions, atrocious stuff. So, I mean, how much of it do you think was, you know, Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham not being on the same page versus, you know, Odell Beckham's kind of storied moodiness or me first approach in offenses, which you want in a receiver, you want to have that alpha, I need the ball mentality, but it's just such a slippery slope between that versus not being able to like operate within, you know, a team's game plan and serve in a role. And he's not a player that I've ever really questioned effort from. Like, he's still running down the field, making blocks and stuff in Cleveland. So I could see, you know, maybe it was him and Baker not being on the same page and Stefanski not forcing him the ball. Maybe it was. If you think he was really a Hall of Fame player, and if you think he can get back to that, you know, the example that you look at of a player who became disinterested in the middle of his career is Randy Moss. Randy Moss went to Oakland at age 28 after, you know, seven awesome seasons in Minnesota, spent two seasons with the Raiders, and the first season barely posted 1,000 receiving yards. The second season played 13 games and put up 553 receiving yards, which is like eerily similar to what Beckham's done in those last two seasons. And then, you know, he went to New England and was part of just the record setting offenses in 2007 through 2009, you know, posting, you know, almost 4,000 receiving yards in three seasons with 47 receiving touchdowns in three seasons, some of the best seasons of his career. And so, you know, I think if you think that Odell Beckham Jr. is an all-time level talent, then this Randy Moss comparison really isn't like that obscene. You know, we also saw Terrell Owens go elsewhere toward the end of his career. Brandon Marshall, after a couple seasons being hidden in Miami, going to New York and excelling. So there's a roadmap here, you know, and I think Odell Beckham Jr. looks a lot more like those players than somebody who just all of a sudden got really bad at what should have been his peak seasons of his career. So I am holding out hope. I don't expect that to manifest itself in, you know, a sharp rise in dynasty value, because people are just going to need, I think you're going to need 3-4 show me games. And even then, any team that signs him is only signing him for the rest of this season. He cleared waivers. Nobody's picking up this contract. So, you know, even if he gets hot and has a couple good games, you don't know what he's going to be. What's the situation going to be next year? And will the team view him as anything more than a rental? One of the main places he's rumored to want to go is Seattle with his personal interest. He'd be the third weapon there. I mean, I don't get it at all. It's not like he's going to usurp Lockett or Metcalf. I get that he might want to riff with Wilson on broken plays. That kind of makes sense for his style, but he's not going to have material, you know, target volume there. You know, Aaron Rodgers, if he gets that pairing, I kind of like that as the second weapon in Green Bay, but Rodgers is moving on after this season. That's, you know, almost a lock. So there's just a lot still here to kind of watch unfold. If you want to, you know, purchase Beckham on spec in Dynasty right now, I think his managers are going to want more than a second You can't pay a first. That's egregious in any format. You just can't. So, you know, a second plus, you know, a roster worthy player, a second plus a third, something like that. There could be some managers looking to cash out in that range. And, you know, I think that's the type of investment that you can recoup. Even if you swing and miss here, again, only makes sense to do if you're a contender. Really only makes sense to do if you're a contender. So if you're weak at flex, or you don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver, and you know, the waiver wire is picked bare in your league, sending your presumably late second, plus, you know, maybe your late third, those are the types of plays for Odell Beckham from my perspective. I mean, Dave, how do you see this? Do you have real hope, or are you just in wait and see mode, kind of like me?
I don't have a ton of hope. I don't disagree really with anything that you said. And I do think that in the beginning of OBJ's career, he was a very talented wide receiver. I do think, though, it's possible he's not quite cut from the same cloth as some of those players that you mentioned. As I've long held and talked about on the show, I've always thought that Jarvis Landry is actually the player that you should rather have on your team and actually might be the better wide receiver. And I wouldn't put Landry in a grouping like that. So in some of those cases, like with Moss, it took a very specific situation. Perhaps there is a situation like that out there for OBJ, but I do not have enough hope for him. And if I am thinking about the probabilities of him having some type of resurgence or approximating what I think it would take me to acquire him right now, I think that's a pretty low probability. So I'm probably going to be trying to avoid OBJ. Do not have that much hope unless somebody essentially, you know, wants to gift me him.
Yeah. I mean, he wants to go to a place that's competing this season, and that there's going to have to be mutual interest. The Saints automatically come to mind as a, as a wide receiver needy team, but I'm not sure that you would think, you know, him with Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill is automatically going to light the world on fire. I don't know that that's a better situation than what he just left in Cleveland.
Right.
I really don't think that it is. Maybe from an implied opportunity perspective, just because he'd be that much better than the rest of the receivers on the roster. You know, New England's competing. Belichick has taken a risk on these types of players before. And we talked about Mac Jones. So I think that you do have to put, you do actually have to put New England on the list of teams, you know, maybe that would have, some interest. You know, that the Titans don't really look to be a team, I think, that could support a third receiver or would necessarily have interest. Maybe if Seattle could, I think, have some interest, but I don't know that that's good for his dynasty value. Right. The Rams seem to want to sign anybody and everybody. But again, that's a space where there's, you know, that's a team where there's not really much available there. You know, the list just gets really dry, like really quick. Arizona is already deep at wide receiver. Maybe the team would see him as an upgrade on Christian Kirk. Maybe, I don't know, but it just gets really hard to see, you know, it's basically, I think the ideal landing spot for him would really probably be Green Bay. That's where I'd want to see him. And perhaps, you know, that would really unlock some ceiling with Devontae Adams commanding so much attention on the other side and Rodgers, you know, just cannon of an arm and freewheeling, you know, mentality. I think, you know, could yield some exciting results, but yeah, it's tough. I don't think, you know, dynasty players are so sharp anyway. I don't think that like Beckham at age 29 as a player, people are really clamoring for. So I don't really feel like we're giving anyone cautionary, like, hey, if you were thinking about overpaying for Odell Beckham, I think our listeners are sharper than that. However, it could still make sense to speculate here. And so I think, you know, just to kind of drive it home, that's really the context we're talking about OBJ in.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have to imagine that our audience base is not, you know, super high on OBJ at this point, but we will have to see how that plays out, and we'll come back and revisit this when we have an idea of where he actually is going to be playing. I agree with you. Green Bay looks like the best spot. If you're somebody that has Beckham right now, you're probably hoping he can end up in Green Bay, get some run, prosper, and then position himself to land in a good situation as we head into next season. Curtis, we will be back on Friday. I had mentioned last week that I wanted people to send in via, you can do it on Twitter. You can do it via email, RotoViz. Actually, you know what? I am blanking. I think it's rvffshow@gmail.com. It's in my pre-recorded thing at the end, as well as the number. I want you to call that number. I want you to either email us or go to Twitter and let us know interesting combinations of players that maybe you ended up with on a handful of teams, or players that maybe just kind of came together in an odd way on a team that you have that are working out very well. If we get enough of those, Curtis and I might talk about some of ours. Would be a fun concept for Friday. We're going to get out of here, but Curtis, as the Dynasty Commander, you need to tell these people that they don't have a choice. They need to send these in.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I would love to see some questions of, should I go for it or not? Well, that's kind of the spot in the season we're in. I tweeted something out to the effect before last week's games that, you know, if you just have two wins at this point in the season, it is time, no matter how great your roster is. I mean, and I know there are probably some rosters that look awesome that only have two wins because of all the injuries that have mounted. You're just too far behind at this point. And so you need to think about reshaping that roster. I'm really interested to get some questions from 3, 4, and 5 win teams. Should I go for it or not? If you want to get some feedback from me and Dave on your squad, make sure you let us know how many teams are in the league, what the scoring is, the starting lineup requirements, and the team's records in and around you. So like, are you the current 8 seed? Are you the current 6 seed? And what's the gap to solve in order to get into the playoffs? I would love to help you break down some teams like that and encourage you to either make some trades to go for it and get the glory of 2021, or to kind of try to reload, offload some assets and reload for 2022.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.